and she presently works with Junior High Ministries here in the church office, part-time. Join me in prayer for Kathy as she speaks and we listen well. Gracious God, we are grateful for Kathy's willingness to share with us this morning. She has been open to your spirit in the preparation of this sermon. May we now be open to your wisdom and guidance as she shares from her heart in this passage. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, our hearts are indeed heavy with the news of all the racial violence and shootings across the country. We long for a world where people can live in right relationship. This passage in Luke is another one of those repeated stories in the Gospels, ones the Gospel writers didn't want us to miss. We see Jesus in action here, but we're also looking to the people that he met and how they're empowered to step out in faith. These people don't just lay back and let Jesus do something for them. They're emboldened to do something on their own behalf when they encounter Jesus' love. My dad and I were on the phone this week, and we discovered, to our surprise, that we were both preaching this Sunday. It's about as rare an occasion for him as it is for me. So he's bringing it at Akron Mennonite Church in Pennsylvania this morning, and I'm here. So my parents are big gardeners, and Dad told me a story of a guy who was showing his neighbor his garden. The neighbor said, "Wow, you and God really have a great garden going here. It really looks nice." And the man said, "Yes, thanks, we do. But you should have seen it before I was working on it." You might remember Harold Yoder relating John's version of today's story back in March. And what resonated with me about his telling of the story was the woman's love and devotion. Her gratitude turned to humble service. Her yearning to give extravagantly. The wholehearted longing behind her actions. What are you longing for today? What are we longing for? Because what we see others yearning and striving for impacts where we direct our own longing. Today's story is about a woman who longs for a whole lot of things. Up till now, she's spent her life pretty much as we all do, reaching for things that won't really make her happy. She's a sinful woman, and everybody knows it. She knows it. She knows that the places she's tried to find meaning and satisfaction have not really worked out for her. Her longing has led to a bunch of dead ends. Disappointment. Broken relationships. And if she's like many of us, a certain amount of self-loathing. She's known by all as sinful. And it doesn't help that she was born a woman. She's an outsider. Talking, playing, and journeying with the junior hires here at Kern has given me new insight into what we yearn for and has made me think about where we go with our longings. Our group has enjoyed playing tennis together a couple of times. We've even got some parents to come out and hit some balls with us. Now, we all understand the object of the game. Hit the ball over the net into the court on the other side. But whether you're 13 or 40-something, no matter how much you want to make the ball land inside the lines, no matter how hard you try to be queen or king of the court, you end up spraying some balls. A lot of them, really. They go everywhere, just like our longings, all over the place. Over the fence, in the net, they bounce into a corner. The racket flies out of our hand. We miss spectacularly. Reminds me of this woman and her longings. She was all over the place, and everyone knew it. The Pharisees sure knew it, and Jesus did. But the woman had heard something about Jesus. She knew Jesus was someone who would love and accept outsiders. He would go right up to people that others wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. So she left the house that day, counting on the fact that Jesus' way of seeing her was more real than how the host saw her, even more real than how she'd been seeing herself. All those sprayed balls, all that longing, all those misguided attempts at finding acceptance, love, and meaning. The woman grabbed some perfume and decided to go out and risk ridicule at this respectable Pharisee's house. But her acts of service and devotion weren't random and totally weird as they may seem. They were very much like what a host of that time was supposed to do for his or her honored guests. Welcoming acts of hospitality, kissing, washing of feet, anointing with oil. The woman was going somewhere with her new sense of longing, somewhere new. Going all in, ready to be humiliated in front of a lot of people who were pretty sure she shouldn't be there at all. But what she knew, what she understood about the way Jesus welcomes sinners was empowering the woman to get up off the couch that night. Her longing to see herself as Jesus saw her through the eyes of love, forgiveness, as a beloved child of God, that longing found her weeping at Jesus' feet, wiping them with her hair, kissing them. And after telling the parable of the two debtors and schooling the host on how he'd neglected to show any of those forms of hospitality, Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." This woman's step of faith reminds me of a group of young people and a couple of parents from here at Kern who Lane and I are meeting with this summer for a baptism exploration class. Like this woman, each of these 7 or 8 people have heard something about Jesus. They're longing to experience more of the good news, Jesus' love, forgiveness, and healing. Like the woman, they're banking on the wild hope that devoting themselves to following Jesus will lead in the direction of wholeness, meaning, and peace. We're all longing together, encouraging one another in this practice of study and devotion. We each bring our own story, our own strengths and weaknesses, our own failures and triumphs. But our quest is the same: to know God by learning about Jesus and the people who knew him, like this woman. This longing is as deeply embedded in us as it was in her. It's how we're made. We long to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We need somewhere to go with our gifts and our energy and our devotion. In her book, The Spiritual Child, Lisa Miller states that biologically, we are hardwired for spiritual connection. Spiritual development is a biological and psychological imperative from birth. I find this book to be a wonderfully insightful and encouraging resource to me, both as a parent and as someone who works with youth. Miller not only makes a compelling case for paying close attention to children's spiritual development, but also launched me on sort of a reassessment of my own spiritual journey. So I recommend this book to you. We long to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We need somewhere to go with our gifts and our energy and our devotion. It's how God made us. We'll keep on spraying those balls, that's okay. But we're counting on Jesus' message of inclusion and welcome being bigger than the worst thing we've ever done, or the worst name we've ever been called, or the worst name we've ever called ourselves. Jesus' love and forgiveness is more real than all our dead ends that we've followed our longings down. And the more shots we've missed, the happier we are to hear that we're still welcome in the game. We're good enough in Jesus' eyes. We're lovable. We're forgiven. We're not losers. Jesus told the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So, where's your longing leading you next? Every Sunday in this series, we're hearing about someone who has learned about Jesus and is empowered to take action. Action fueled by the good news that they are loved and accepted. Even if they were born in the wrong, as the wrong kind of person, or had done so much wrong, so many balls in the net and over the fence, that they're forgiven, even if they thought they'd be automatically disqualified. What are you going to get up off the couch and do? How will you let your sisters and brothers in this congregation and in the broader church help you decide where you will go with this longing we all carry? Who will you start seeing through Jesus' eyes? Can you start with you and go from there?